Our scripture today comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So when Abram went, and the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on all stages toward the Negev.
As we remember from last week, God made a covenant, a promise with Noah and Noah's family. Actually, God made a covenant, a promise with all of creation, all creatures, all plants, all water, all everything, that God will never destroy any part of creation again. It's a pretty big promise, considering that Noah and his family get off the boat, Noah gets drunk, one of his sons shames him, and there we go with the whole being human all over again. But God has promised not to destroy us because God loves us in the midst of our being human. And so life goes on. And Noah's family was fruitful and multiplied, and all was right with the world. So right that the whole world had one language and they all traveled together wherever they went. When they came to the land of Shinar, they decided to build a city. And in this city, they built a tower that went up to the heavens, and they decided to make a name for themselves, for they wanted to stay together always and not be scattered around upon the face of the earth. Well, God decided to come and have a look at this city and the tower. And God said, "Look, they are one people and they have all one language. And this is the only beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." So God scattered them about over the face of all the earth, and they did not build any more of that particular city. What was left of the city was called Babel, which means to confuse, because God confused the language of all the earth. And from there, God scattered humans over the face of all the earth. It's a great story, isn't it? You may know it as the Tower of Babel. It's pretty good stuff. And after a little genealogy lesson in part of chapter 11 in Genesis, we stumble across Abram. Yes. I said stumble. We have heard how God wanted Noah and his family to be fruitful and multiply, and they did. And all the people of earth got along well together. They all wanted to travel together. Amazing. Once they began to put down roots, God got a little concerned about that and confused their language. And as we know now, there were no more family fun road trips. But everyone was fruitful in their part of the world and multiplied. So we're walking around in a world filled with different languages and everyone living around the world, and we read, "Now the Lord said to Abram, who lived in Haran, go, and Abram went." See what I mean about stumbling across Abram? Where did he come from? Why is God talking to him? And why is God going to make Abram a great nation and bless him and make his name great so that Abram will be a blessing? Why is God going to bless those who bless Abram and curse those who curse Abram? And why are all the families of the earth going to be blessed because of Abram? Haven't you asked these questions before? Out of all the people now scattered around the earth, why did God pick Abram, who lived in Haran, who was married to Sarai, who was not able to have any children? It says so back in chapter 11, verse 30 in the genealogy. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and she was barren, and she had no child. God said to Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation with a woman who can't have children. It should read next that Abram begins to ask God some pretty direct questions. Why do I have to leave my home that you just scattered us to? God, I'm not sure that you caught the whole Sarai is barren issue. Of course, that's not the way Genesis 12 reads, is it? Instead, Abram, who's 75 years old, I'm going to make a great nation out of a 75-year-old by uprooting him and having him take all of his possessions, people, animals, clothing, cooking utensils, food for animals and people, pots and pans, everything. That Abram just goes. No questions asked. No, hey, God, maybe you could send one of the younger people from Haran. No, Abram packs up everyone and everything, and he even takes his nephew Lot. So they journeyed to the land of Canaan, and Abram went to Shechem to the oak of Moreh, and he built an altar to God. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel. We pretty much saw that with the kids today. Pitched his tent and built an altar to God, and Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. As Abram travels, not knowing where he is going, he spends time in worship of God, building an altar and offering thanksgiving. Out of all the people in the world, God chooses Abram, and we don't know why. God chooses Sarai, and we don't know why. All we know is that God chose, and Abram responded with a yes. And as Abram traveled with everybody, every animal, every possession he made, sure to stop along this journey that God says will lead to blessings, Abram made sure to stop and worship God. Nomadic people traveling, not knowing really where they're going, and they are thankful to God. We don't know for sure all that for which Abram was thankful, but we can imagine food along the way, health, the land itself. Yeah, God told Abram that God is going to give him the land. Pretty cool to have God say that to you, right? I'm just going to give you this land. And it was a pretty incredible land since God is giving it, right? Wrong. God gives Abram a land, and a famine hits that land. And Abram has to go to Egypt where Pharaoh lives. Abram has to go as an alien, an illegal resident, to Egypt because he has no food to feed this caravan of people, animals, things that God has told him to take with him to the land that God said God would give to Abram. Well, that's all fine and good. But this land that God gave has been hit with this famine. And one thing you may not have noticed in the text as we read it was that Abram hasn't really said anything at this point. All we know is God said go, Abram went. And when Abram finally speaks, he says to Sarai, I know well that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So if you'll just say that you're my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared on your account. Yeah, that's what Abram said. Something bad may happen to me, so Sarai, why don't you just say you're my sister? Sarai does that and gets taken into Pharaoh's house and becomes part of Pharaoh's harem. Abram makes out like a bandit because Pharaoh in turn gives Abram sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female slaves, female donkeys, and camels. So, God has chosen Abram out of all the people on the earth. Abram hits a little rough time with the famine and he basically sells his wife to Pharaoh. Now, this makes me laugh because it's a real good thing that God made that covenant with Noah because we humans just keep, well, being human. It appears this journey of blessings has hit a very weird spot. Not sure where the blessing is here. I guess we could say that Abram is blessed with all the stuff that Pharaoh gave him. But what about Sarai? Well, God isn't real happy about that. And so God sends plagues upon Pharaoh and his house. Pharaoh gets upset, gives Sarai back to Abram, and Abram leaves with Sarai and all the stuff Pharaoh's given him. He doesn't even give it back. So I guess this is a blessing. In a little more wandering, Abram and Lot decide they cannot inhabit the same land because they have too much stuff. Too much stuff for two families to inhabit the same land. So when when Lot leaves, God says to Abram, "Look around, for I will give you the land you see, and to your offspring, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, abundant." So Abram looked around, settled in Hebron, built an altar to God. Abram offered thanksgiving to God. This is a journey of blessings. It's not filled with the typical stories of abundance. Yes, Abram has acquired a lot of stuff along the way, but this stuff creates problems. And my goodness, Abram basically sold his wife to Pharaoh. And God keeps coming and promising good things to this nomadic man who just keeps following God. But there are hardships. This isn't an easy road. And through it all, Abram keeps offering thanksgiving to God. And then as this journey of blessings goes on, God makes yet another covenant or promise with Abram. This time God tells Abram that his offspring will be aliens in a land that is not theirs. And on top of that, they will be slaves in that land. And they will be oppressed for 400 years. God tells Abram that there will be judgment on those who enslave his offspring. And his offspring will come out with great possessions. As for you, Abram, you will die in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Wow. Thanks, God, for that uplifting promise and blessing. This journey of blessing continues to be filled with blessings, but heartache and turmoil are mixed right in there. The story continues that Abram has a child with Sarai's female slave, Hagar. Then because Sarai can't have a child, then God changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. Chapter 20 has another story of Abraham yet again passing Sarah off as his sister to protect himself. Then Sarah becomes pregnant at a very old age, and one day Abraham takes this child, Isaac, to sacrifice him as God directed. And instead, Abraham sacrifices a ram. God started out this relationship with Abraham, by telling him all of the blessings that will come out of this relationship, this covenant, this promise with God. As Walter Brueggemann says, God called Abram so as to fashion an alternative community in the creation gone awry once again, to embody in human history the power of the blessing, Sounds very similar to the good news of Jesus Christ. Abraham proved to be a person of great faith as he responded to God's call, but Abraham also lived in the world, and so he was not always sure or confident of God's promises. So he passes off his wife as his sister to save his own skin, just in case, and the alternative wife, the slave with whom to have a child, just in case. Abraham's faith was not a happy-go-lucky faith. It was filled with doubt and anguish, much like it is for us today. We know that there are many blessings, but as much as God blesses, we humans continue to be human, and God continues to love us, and we continue to do human things, and God continues to bless us, and we continue to do things just in case the promises aren't true. And sometimes in the midst of God blessing and us being humans, we stop on this incredible journey of blessings. And like Abraham and Sarah, we build an altar wherever we are and say thank you to God for continuing to love us and bless us. Today, I'm thankful that God chooses us just as we are. And in the midst of who we are and the choices we make, we are no different than Abraham in the doubt, confusion, and anguish department. And in the midst of all that, God continues to bless that we may be a blessing. You know, Abraham, for generations and in many different religions, is called a righteous, faithful man who had a great faith. I'm wondering, could it be that those who came before us knew just how human Abraham really was? And for that, they call him a great person of faith. Amen.
As we come to this time in our worship, we always extend an invitation to come and join with us as we continue on a journey of blessing, a journey of discerning what it is that God is constantly calling us to do. We invite you to come and be a part of this faith community as we stand and sing.